that in the main event, please?
Oh, of course. Obviously. It's just stupid that it's
also,
not happened.
Also, turned around my opinion on Big Dave. You know why?
I didn't, but...
I saw the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, so I'm good.
Excellent
trailer.
It's a good trailer.
Excellent trailer.
But it doesn't mean that Big Dave is...
Fair enough, but...
Great.
Batista.
Dave Batista. Dave the Animal Batista. Probably.
Drax the Destroyer.
Oh, he's Draxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's in the main event of WrestleMania.
I loved that.
In 2014.
I just love that trailer because the start is just Indiana Jones. It's like, yes. Without, like, you know, the thing, the weight.
You just like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that too.
I like Indiana Jones too.
And I really like Chris Pratt, so that works too.
He's funny. He's funny. I called him Chris Pine today.
That's the guy from Star Trek, Robbie G.
And then I called him Chris Hemsworth. I was like, oh yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
Still wrong. Yeah, you're just like, I'm still wrong.
Oh yeah, Liam Hemsworth. That's
he's on there. He's Peter Mullarkey, isn't he?
I think so. I know he was in the Expendables 2 for like 20 minutes.
Was he?
Yeah. He's like the impetus for all the story.
I didn't see it.
It was, yeah, it's okay.
One of these days I might.
The Chuck Norris bit was fun. Guys, what should be my favorite? Is this anybody's favorite?
No, I forgot to read it.
Okay, then it's my favorite.
Mine, I don't know what else to add. Oh. I'll do the
bassline. I can't do it.
Are you going to sing the song?
Is this...
I've been recording for a while.
Oh, really? I have not been projecting.
I'll go back to the bass line again. Oh, you need lyrics.
Zombies, werewolves, robot vampires running after me. They want my brain, my blood, my body, all that they can need. Spandex capes and swords and heroes, multi-sided dice. Time manipulation, ray guns, nothing will suffice. Aliens that wanna probe and study life across the globe. In pan-dimension, cosmic sanctions taking over all creation. Secret spies with laser eyes will never quite agree. The coming slaughter propagated by a rampant trampling geek stampede bass solo.
Give it away now.
The pig slide.
Like a pig slide on the acoustic guitar.
As an aside, I remember when Rob was in a hardcore band and there was an actual like separate pick slide track on the recording. Do you remember that?
Yeah, dude.
Sounds really
that was,
really,
that,
really
it was
that
amazing.
We paid by the hour in the recording studio and at least 30 minutes of that was for a goddamn pick slide.
Oh,
how did it take 30 minutes to record a pick slide?
Because they had to try with several different
like
picks
and a nickel I think was the final solution.
Jesus.
The final solution.
You know,
the final
solution from was, Yes used to play with a 1 pound coin.
Really?
Yeah.
I was playing a guitar today, the one that Robbie sold me. Not today, yesterday. I learned the down, 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 down part by Rush. Just those five notes.
I play that all the time. It's like it's a riff I always play.
And I can play five notes from it. Actually, I did learn a song, so guys. Not quite good at it, but I can kind of play it without even looking at the freaking...
That's impressive. That's like masturbating without having to stare at your own dick. The first time you learn how to do that is magical.
I actually have to do that because my penis is ugly.
You have to not stare at your penis when you're masturbating?
Stare at something else.
So you had to figure out how to masturbate without first just like locking eyes with the helmet of your dick?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is weird.
I can't even imagine that.
I actually surgically implanted googly eyes to the tip of my penis. Guys, the Tim Hortons roll up the rims have two parts.
I know,
to
I didn't
roll.
Know that, and I threw a
what?
Cup
there's
up
two parts
on.
To roll.
Yeah,
double
there's
rolls
a blue era and a blue era.
Blue era,
the
blue
arrow.
Blue and gold team. It's kind of like the X Men.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
speaking
exciting.
Speaking of the X Men, welcome
more
to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, February the 19th, with a much more chipper and energetic bunch tonight.
Hello,
I am Joey G. Across the table,
me Ryan,
Mr. Rowdy Ryan Heff.
I felt better last week for the record than this week, but I still feel okay this week. I've had
and
a coffee.
Rob and I'm feeling much better.
Now.
I read comics this week.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Only because my wife is amazing. Brody has been a nightmare all week. But that's beside the point. And Robbie G is here.
Hello.
Still little Charlie Fur. He is in another dimension.
I saw him yesterday. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, you can't.
Pretend that
fast.
I went and got the guitar and did another pick slide because that would have been funny, but I'm too tired.
You stick around and make it work your
wow.
Numbers be on what you can do.
Ah!
Oh, that's a good tune.
Don't they say style profile?
Style profile! I said it always makes me something when I
style
and
profiling? Wheeling, dealing?
Girlfriend. Oh, kiss
stealing?
Girlfriend.
I think I'm a little backwards here. Hold on. What is it? Limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing.
No good son of a bitch.
Son of a gun?
I'm saying son of a bitch.
For the children.
2014.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair. Woo!
That's good.
Thank you.
Good.
Now I'm gonna.
The best kind of references.
I'm gonna elbow drop my jacket.
Yeah, the best kind of references take like five minutes to deliver,
and also, and then I have to go back and do it properly.
Yeah, exactly, and have to rewind. Yeah. Those are always good. Right on.
Good job, guys. Rewind. I was gonna text to see if we were recording tonight, and I was gonna say, "Are we rickety recording tonight?" But then I was like, "I don't know if that sounds dumb," so I didn't do that.
So I thought that Rob, you could talk about this book I haven't read. I'm just like 4 issues behind, but I would mention that there was an interview, and the end is in sight. Azzarello and Cliff Chang's run on Wonder Woman is coming to a close.
So sad.
I think it's ending what, end of September, or like it's basically going to be like a 3-year run, and then they're done.
As somebody who has never read an issue of this book, I'm sad.
It's really good.
One of the good books is done.
Yeah, one of the original teams since it was launched. One of the few books that's remained consistently good since it started.
Uninterrupted, apart from Villains Month?
Yeah, uninterrupted. I mean, there's been fill-in artists, but all the fill-in artists were like Goran Sadzuka and Tony Akins.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
it's
list.
Not like that's a step down from. I mean, they're equally as talented. The storytelling of it has remained just as fluid, just as completely separated from the rest of the DCU. So Wonder Woman stories exist almost completely. Beside all the Forever Evil nonsense and all of her dating Superman, like this run hasn't really mentioned it or drawn attention to it. It's just been exactly what I want out of character superhero comics like this. Is it's just been a really, really solid run, focusing on all the strengths of the character and focusing on all the wide and vast back catalog of supporting characters that Wonder Woman has, specifically all the gods. And everything, and also it's done a bunch of things in the new 52 that I think are really exciting, and I hope result in something. Although I have doubts. Is this was the first book to really actually make links and ties to the Kirby Fourth World stuff? I mean, the original villain in Justice League was Darkseid, but they don't really go into it. I mean, there's a Mother Box in it, yeah. But the Mother Box that Geoff Johns introduces in his Justice League run is a really lame. It just looks like a box. Like, it's super lame.
Not even any wonder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the bread?
Yeah, exactly. Where is the wonder bread? And, yeah.
Yeah, where is
it? We do have a game.
Cool.
But first I want to get down to where's this wonder bread?
Yeah, where? That's the game.
So what they've done in Wonder Woman is they've actually taken us to New Genesis and issues. Orion has been a main character throughout it. You get to meet the High Father. Yeah. But I'll be sad to see Azzarello go and Cliff Chang go from this book, but they've had such a monstrous run and it's been so good. So I'm glad to see it actually kind of come to its climax and sort of, come all over the pages. And
come
stuff.
To its climax.
Like, yeah. Yeah, coming on the
twice climax. That quickly?
Anyway.
Iron Man.
This was almost my favorite this week, actually, this issue. Because this issue made me go back and pick up all of the Wonder Woman run from my... I like took it out of my small boxes and took them all out of the bags and boards. And I started reading from number 1 again.
Nice.
Man, it's such a fun run. It's been so good. I'm glad that Azzarello's was given the opportunity to write such a weird sort of
and
book.
And who doesn't like a good fun run?
Yeah.
To raise money and awareness for breast cancer.
I don't like those.
Breasts or breast
fun
cancer?
Runs.
Fun runs?
What's
like
fun about running?
You're raising money for a good cause.
Well, like, to just give money, not run.
It's just so people can hang out. Don't get your...
I love how your problem with it is the exercise portion of it, not the charitable portion.
Every week you keep finding the strangest things to come out against. Oh. You're just like, what? They're raising money for cancer? Fuck those guys!
No, it's not even that. It's like, they're raising money for cancer? Great.
Oh,
how are they doing it? Are they running?
They're running.
Fuck those
clowns. And they're saying it's fun.
Now, okay, you know what? At least they're raising money. If it was, like, running to raise awareness, I would be mad. we're all aware of Brett
cancer. Yeah, Brett cancer is such a dick.
Brett cancer sucks. Bread cancer is even worse.
Where is the I Wonder Bread
usually
cancer?
You don't see cancer in bread. Usually you see a yeast infection.
Hey-o! Oh, you got sweaty hands there, brother.
It's fucking hot.
I do think raising awareness for things is kind of silly, though. Especially things like that.
Well, it in a case like a where crop. You're donating
can
all the
not
money
do
to
one episode without yeah. you yeah. being like, "Hey, there's usually you didn't used to be me who'd come out against weird things on the show, and everyone would be like, did you hear the episode where Julie was all like,
just wait till next week when I come out,
like
wait,
like homosexual?
You
like,
think I'm not gay. I'm not gay right now. I think I might just choose to be next week.
Okay, can I?
It's a choice.
Where I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do a little improv here. Here's how you come out.
Yes, and
I'm going to react the way that I would react. Okay, go.
I am gay.
Can I be a? Can I be like a German flight attendant?
Yeah.
In this scene. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yes,
okay,
and
you guys go ahead. Okay. Do a bit, and then I'll come in.
Hey, Ryan. How's your heterosexual sex life going?
It's poorly because I am gay. Yes, and?
Oh, hi. Have you guys found your seats okay? Would you like some pillows and blankets or maybe some little tasty
sorry,
treats?
Just that.
Yes,
so we're
and
in the middle
a boner.
Oh, that's very good. I will bring those to you. Oh,
you know,
what
I
is wrong?
Well, no. There's nothing.
Welcome
really
to German Airlines.
Oh, thank you for welcoming me. I was just in the middle of a conversation with my friend. Perhaps
oh, I'm not
you could
conversation. Perhaps I could join.
Yeah, well, perhaps
yes,
you could actually bring.
And?
What are we talking about? Can I get you some snacks?
Yeah, if you could bring as many peanuts as you can fit.
Peanuts? How should I in my mouth?
In your mouth.
Yes.
I bring them
yes
in my mouth. Okay,
and
I'll be right back.
Okay, now guys, enter
now,
a pterodactyl.
Alright.
There's
a pterodactyl on the plane. What the fuck is going on?
Oh my god. These peanuts.
And now there's a bunch of peanuts in a German.
There we go. Now, what are we talking about here? Were we having a good time?
And now,
well,
enter John Wayne. Hey there, pilgrim.
So John Wayne, the ghost of John Wayne?
No. I was frozen.
I mean, I thought you were dead.
In carbonite?
This
no.
Carbonite is from a movie.
Do you guys like my character of the confused guy who's trying to say things?
Why are you announcing that you're a character? This is real life.
Oh, right.
Enter Helen Keller.
Who keeps introducing themselves before they walk in? Who is this embodied voice? I'm the only one who's committing to the bit.
What's happening?
What are you,
oh, that was my Helen Keller.
You can't fucking. All right. End scene. And 10 more minutes.
And 10 more minutes.
Okay. Can I do some movie news for you boys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have a news announcement, then another news announcement that leads into
another
Newsorama Top 10.
Right oh, I have that.
Or should I say, Newsorama Bottom 10.
Hey, well,
that's funny because we were just talking about my sexuality.
Bottom. I didn't get to react to how you would. Yeah. My reaction would be. Good job, man.
Thanks, man.
Oh, are we still doing this?
It was a
I thought we were done.
It was a tough choice.
Oh, please save us. Please, Ryan, save us from all of the butt sex.
You're our only hope.
What? What was that?
You're our only hope.
I don't know what you're
saying. Did Yoda
was that Yoda?
I don't even know.
Because the just only, weird your only hope was from Princess Leia. Can you imagine how different Star Wars would be? Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're from my only hope, please. You help my father in the Clone War.
You're my only hope dead. Other than the Führer.
The Führer.
Jesus.
Years ago, you served the Führer. Okay, Marvel, this is like barely a fucking news story. This is Marvel Studios reportedly considering potential.
Oh my god.
So this is someone on CBR.
Apparently someone's
decided,
thinking about maybe
oh my
doing
god,
something.
A senior editor at CBR was like, this is news. So here is a list of things that Marvel is reportedly considering the potential of. These are
so maybe.
Considered
just
potential
their
directors
characters
for the Doctor Strange film.
Okay. Mm.
Okay, so Doctor Strange isn't even officially on Marvel Studios yet, but four directors are currently being considered by Marvel. Mark Andrews, Nicolaj Arcel, Dean Israelite, and Jonathan Levine.
I've heard of the last one.
Jonathan Levine is the guy who directed 50-50 and Warm Bodies.
There we go. Didn't he do... No, never mind.
50-50 and Warm Bodies.
No, I was thinking he did a TV show, but I can't remember what the hell it was.
What about that? What about the movie 50-50?
Did he do Warm Bodies?
Did he do that?
Because I only do cold ones.
Great.
You like an Alice Cooper song.
Great.
Go level. Secondly, we have this guy, Mark Andrews, who co-wrote and co-directed Brave. And he's been on other Pixar movies. He was a storyboard artist on The Iron Giant and the first Spider-Man movie. So far, he sounds like a legitimate contender. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Nicolas Arcel, who wrote and directed 2012's A Royal Affair, which was nominated for the Best Foreign Language Film at the Academy Awards. I don't know what this is or why he's being considered.
I saw that.
Did you?
No.
And last but not least, Dean Israelite, who directed a sci-fi film called Welcome to Yesterday that hasn't even come out yet. So that's what they're reporting. Mm. And also, they are also reportedly considering the duo of Jonathan Eibel and Glenn Berger to write the film, whose credits include Kung Fu Panda, Monsters vs. Aliens, and Alvin and the Chipmunks 2, The Squeakquel.
Well, that's a winning resume.
Let's keep in mind that none of this will probably happen. Yeah. Because
well, I mean, at least they're reportedly maybe totally probably not considering it.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Maybe. Anyway, yeah. That was just sort of like a fun little thing.
I wish all newspapers were structured the same, where the front page is, perhaps, maybe, someone at some point would possibly consider doing something eventually.
Oh, no. Have you never read, like, the Calgary Sun?
The Sun? The Sun doesn't use that many words.
They
don't know
they
that
just don't
words.
Put, like, potentially. Yeah. It's just, like, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so the actual news this week is they have announced the cast of the Fox reboot of the Fantastic Four movie. We have in the roles, what are their fucking names are? Why do they put their fucking, I don't
know. Miles Teller, Kate Mara.
So, Miles Teller is playing the Invisible Man.
Who's Miles Teller?
The Invisible Man. Miles Teller is playing Mr. Fantastic. That's him right there. I don't know who he is.
He was in, was he in Project X, that like weird Maybe. Found footage party movie?
Maybe.
I think.
Kate Mara.
I love Kate Mara.
I think she's a really good choice. She's playing Sue Storm.
She's so good in House of Cards.
Michael
she's
B. Jordan.
Also great in American Horror Story.
Michael B. Jordan is playing Johnny Storm.
Michael B. Jordan.
Fantastic.
I was so
choice.
Excited to hear he's that he was awesome. Announced. That. Michael B. Jordan fucking rules.
That's crazy that.
Wallace, what did you do? Where's Wallace, man?
That's
Where's
crazy.
Wallace?
That's crazy that he's getting into acting after such a long career in baseball.
In The
Get
Wire?
Ball.
In basketball?
Yeah,
what?
I was going to say baseball. Fuck you, that works.
Movie?
Michael Jordan played baseball. Poorly, but he played.
Did
it.
You see Chronicle? I finally saw
no,
Chronicle.
No, I really
Chronicle
wanted to
is spectacular.
I should watch
and
it.
He's so good in that
movie. I've been
Michael Jordan fucking
which
rules.
Makes sense why he's in this movie, because that's who's
yeah.
directing the Fantastic Four movie.
Really? I've been too busy.
The Chronicle guy.
That's a
yeah,
guy.
Josh Trank.
Yeah.
I think
oh, no, Max Landis wrote it.
Max Landis wrote it.
That's awesome.
They wouldn't give Max Landis a Fantastic Four movie.
I would
he's
watch
way
it.
Too noisy and yeah. squawky and goofy.
Well, really?
Oh, God, he's so... I think he's a cool guy, but he's fucking opinionated and full of shit. He's like... I don't know. He's a funny guy.
Oh, did he do that video about the Death of Superman thing?
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought that was funny.
He's a cool guy. And then finally, Jamie Bell, a.k.a. Tintin, is playing the... Mr.
Wasn't he in
thing.
Like War Horse 2?
I don't know.
Was he the
War
horse?
Horse 2?
Wasn't he? No.
War Horse 2.
He was he was in the movie about the little dancing boy, I think. Wasn't he the little dancing boy? Am I getting mixed
little
up?
Little Miss Sunshine?
I didn't
that was
see
a girl.
War Horse.
Oh.
Anyway, I think it sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
But
I'm so
the funny
excited.
Part of this is that CBR did a poll about how we feel about the casting. And they couldn't just say happy, sad, ambivalent. They had to come up with like puns. So your choices were... Number one.
Fantastic.
What a revolting development.
Oh.
Wrong choices all around. Two, much like those looking for Invisible Woman, I'll wait and see.
Ugh.
And lastly, fantastic. I'm all for it. Like,
oh my God,
four.
Kill yourself, whoever came
now,
up with that.
Now, here's bad. That's bad. Here's what's worse. The results of this poll. 10.1% of people said fantastic, I'm all for it. 25.4% said I'll wait and see. Nearly 65% of people were like, what a revolting development. Wrong
Why?
Choices
What's
all around.
Bad about
because
that?
People
are
annoying.
I hate
annoying.
People. I hate them. They're the worst.
Because
people
Kate Mara's black.
Here's the thing that's fucked up. People are getting called out for being racist by saying they're not staying true to the comics because Johnny Storm is white. And everyone's like, that's a stupid reason. And then when they realize that they can't escape from sounding racist, they say, well, no, they should have made her black too. It was a chance to be a diverse cast. I have
what?
Had a conversation like that with
oh
someone.
My! Like,
what?
Do people not know about, like, adoption?
It's just like...
That's
why
a thing that happens all the time.
Remember when Samuel L. Jackson was Nick Fury? Or when... I don't know people shit on this movie, but I like it. Remember when Michael Clark Duncan was the fucking Kingpin?
Yeah.
That is a horrible yes. movie.
I like that
cool.
movie.
I
no, Director's Cut's good.
He was good as Kingpin. That's
it's a
horrible
good movie.
Director's Cut is good.
Do you remember when they made Batman a white guy? A rich white guy?
Remember that?
Remember when he was British?
That's what he is.
Oh. I honestly, after this, I want a black Batman so badly. Or like a black Bond.
Would be the greatest Batman ever.
Or a black Bond. I think a black Bond would be good too. Although it's kind of different.
I care way less about Bond though.
I love James Bond, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people flipped about a blonde James Bond.
What?
Yeah, because Daniel Craig is blonde.
I also remember, this was a true story, but I told my mom they're making a Spider-Man movie. And they cast Kirsten Dunst, remember, in the role of Mary Jane Watson. And I said, yeah, they're putting Kirsten Dunst in that movie. And she goes, isn't Kirsten Dunst blonde? And I said, well, Mom, they've had this incredible... I remember in the car saying, there's been an incredible breakthrough in makeup. It's called a hair dye. And I think at that moment she started laughing and said, I guess that was sort of a strange thing to suddenly be outraged about. Like, they can't hire him.
I love...
they hired the most famous redhead in the world to play
Emma.
Like, what the fuck? Funny stuff.
Gwen Stacy. Emma. I was going to say Emma Stacy.
Well, this leads me into the news around Black the Man. Bottom 10, which we really need a theme song for.
Okay, here we go.
Does this one
this.
Have anything with Marvel to do with it? That was a really good
Here, let me
sing.
Try. I'm going
to
improvise.
That was really good speaking. Guys, does it have to do with Marvel?
Okay, I'm going to improvise three theme songs to the Newsarama list.
Okay.
Okay? And you guys got to tell me which one is the best one. Okay,
I hope one is Limelight.
Here's number one. Okay, so Newsarama bottom 10 list. Okay. Yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome if the people who made this list weren't so dumb? Okay,
that's good.
That's number one.
Okay,
right.
Here's a more upbeat one here. We're counting down the stuff. Gonna keep counting down. Give me a second, hold on.
This makes me want to go on a picnic with a
girl. We're counting down the stuff, talking about comics. This, we've had enough. Okay, well, I tried.
I think one's in the lead. One was better so far.
I hope this one's just like mana.
Holy shit, what a waste of fucking time.
Yeah, I'm
That's actually probably better. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that one.
Okay,
so, are you going to do it now? Okay.
Holy shit, what a waste of fucking time!
Me, I'm back. Okay.
Okay. Can we do a Russian version? Holy shit, what a waste of time! Rushing.
Okay, so this is the top 10. Shit. After the casting, 10 things the Fantastic Four reboot needs to work. Now, I've looked through this list. In the spirit of our program, I'm going to paraphrase what he's talking about because some of them, when he puts them into context, are just boring. They're not stupid. Most of them are stupid.
Okay.
But we're going to keep them out of context because it makes it funny. I also love that the title for this list is Here Comes the Four Doobie Doobie Doo Doo. And I assume it's like an old Fantastic Four cartoon theme song, but it just says Here Comes the Four Doobie Doobie Doo Doo.
Oh my God.
Okay, number 10.
People.
Number 10 should be Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Ben. Yep. I agree.
That is the Fantastic Four.
This should go without saying, but when Fantastic Four is done right, it isn't really a superhero story. It's a story about these four characters in particular.
Jesus Christ.
Who are also superheroes. Like, if I can...
Yes.
Oh my God. You know what Batman needs? Bruce Wayne. Because it's not just about Batman. It's also
about
the character.
Man who shall become a bat.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, one for one. Here we go. Number 9. And men shall call him or her Doom. So they say that they should put Dr. Doom in it.
Dr. Doom's an awesome villain, so
that'd be
cool.
There's been rumors of them doing a female Doom, which I think would be awesome.
Sure.
I want them to do, like, an Asian female Doom. Just to fucking... just piss in people's faces.
Dr. Fu Man Doom. Yeah, so...
Hey, by the way, Canada played Latvia the other day in hockey, and I was cheering for Latvia, because it's this close to cheering for Latveria. Yeah. And also so, because...
You're like underdogs. Yep. And men shall call him or her Doom. So they're saying there should be a Dr. Doom. This one's not stupid. It's less stupid than they should make sure that the Fantastic Four are in it.
Yeah.
Okay, number 8. The First Family. Meaning that beyond the four main characters and their villain of choice, it'd be nice to see the movie at least hint at the larger family that exists around the Fantastic Four. So they're saying we need to have like Alicia Masters, Wyatt Wingfoot, Agatha Harkness, Willy Lumpkin... Because we all know we can't have a fun Fantastic Four movie without Willy fucking Lumpkin, who was in the fucking second Fantastic Four movie, I might add.
I didn't see either of those movies.
It was Stan Lee.
I kind of like them. They're kind of fun. They're not bad.
They're
not, Rob, you'd probably like the first one.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Now,
it's not spectacular.
Let me put it this way. They will win no award.
Yeah, they're not like amazing, but they're pretty good.
They're kind of fun.
You'll be annoyed in the second one that Galactus is a big cloud.
Yeah.
But the Silver Surfer is cool. Well, it's, they kind of went for the grant with the Warren Ellis Galactus from the Ultimate. But it's... I see why they didn't think that a giant purple guy would work, but whatever.
They're fucking wrong, though.
Yeah, I agree. They're not horrible movies. People shit on them a lot, but they're okay.
Silver Surfer looked really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I will agree though that what's his nuts. The guy who played Doom wasn't very good.
Julian McMahon.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, they think they should have kids. So basically, the first one was they need to have the Fantastic Four. The second one, they should have their villain. The third one is they should have the other characters who are also in the book that aren't the Fantastic Four. So far, he wants the characters to be
okay. All right.
Number seven, no costumes, because Lord knows that's what we all look for.
He says, I want to see the Thing in a t-shirt.
Let's not forget that this is the 10 things the Fantastic Four reboot needs to work. No costumes. I know we all want to see the jumpsuit, but the thing about the FF is they're not really superheroes. They're adventurers whose adventures sometimes include saving the world or dealing with supervillains. And while they do that, they typically wear jumpsuits with a big number 4 on them.
Oh my god, this guy needs the communication part of his brain lobotomy.
That's initially what they are.
Well, the funny thing is he's saying, like, what? And as the latest Fantastic Four relaunch demonstrates, it's not even as if the comic book version of the characters have stayed faithful to the blue and black look themselves. You're right, but they're still wearing a fucking red and black. They're still wearing a fucking costume.
Yeah. They're still wearing the uniform.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't care what costume the characters are wearing, but I just think this is so odd. It's like,
it's also dumb to even postulate that they weren't superheroes to begin with. They were explorers. Like, no, they weren't. They were superheroes from the very beginning. Like, the first 20 issues of fucking Fantastic Four, they're being superheroes. They say it themselves.
Number six. Whatever. Not so into darkness. So they should...
It should be happier, or
Avoiding the realism of superhero movies. Stop being so... But I've been saying that about superhero movie ever. Like... Stop being so fucking dark and boring and grim.
You can't be dark and boring and grim with the Fantastic.
Okay, so that's really work. We're halfway through five different points.
Yeah.
One that was like,
I agree, but it's not about Fantastic Four. All superhero movies should do that.
Yeah.
Number five. Do you remember the time? Also, they're saying okay, but what they're saying is that there's a rumor going around that the movie will revise the origins of the team. But so he's saying for this to work, they should keep the original origin. Sure, I don't care.
As long as it's interesting.
What?
As long as it's good.
Right, they should keep the original origin
of how they get their powers.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't care.
Whatever. Just do it in the credits. Just get it over with and then move on.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Yeah, I know. They're going to spend really an hour before they become the Fantastic Four.
I would love if they just.
You know what sucks about most superhero movies? The first hour and change is the same movie, and we've been getting it since 1978.
Seriously, how long Incredible did it take Hulk for them to become the Fantastic Four in the first issue? It took them a page.
And people wonder why I don't like Batman Begins.
Incredible Hulk was the best because it...
Credits. Done. You already know.
The rest of the movie? It was okay. But...
Best Thor credits. Was Thor at the beginning of Thor, even though he wasn't... He was kind of a dick Thor. He was still Thor.
Yeah.
That's easier to do.
Yeah.
I agree.
He doesn't become Thor. He just always is this guy.
Although, Cap was good. I love Cap.
Number four.
Cap was great.
There should be mad science. Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. That one.
They are a team of scientists. Yeah.
There should be mad science. I like mad scientists.
There should be weird science. Right, they should make a girl.
They should make a girl.
Bodacious.
Number
girl.
Three. And then fuck this her. Is great.
Maybe that's why she's
this
white.
This is fantastic because based on everything you said, they need to have all the original characters, their original
costumes.
Origin,
Doctor Doom,
but now they say it also has to have something new because the original issues of this book was all about coming up with new creative ideas. They got to be something unexpected and unseen. Well, so far all your points have been like, give me what I already read, motherfucker. Seriously, I can't believe this guy can fucking tie his shoes. You hear me, Graham McMillan?
In fairness, might be wearing Velcros.
I mean, yes, you work in the industry. You get to write about comics for a living. And I just sit in my kitchen, an angry, bitter man, and make fun of you. But fuck you. Okay, this one is priceless. Number two, a Jack Kirby cameo. Jack Kirby is dead.
What?
I mean, Fantastic Four was Kirby's book in as many ways, if not more perhaps, than Lee's. And it would be fitting to see that recognized somewhere in the movie itself. No, I agree. But unfortunately, Jack Kirby died. Jesus. So,
no, you know what? That Michael Parks cameo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Michael Parks played Jack Kirby in Argo.
He good did. That was actually really cool.
Argo, fuck yourself. I like
he had
that,
like a 2 second part. It was nice.
I just love the sentence. Like, you know, it was just as much Jack Kirby's book, if not even a little bit more.
And everyone's so just like, thank you, Captain Obvious.
For fuck's sake, of you course. It was his book. Whatever.
You'd think a guy who, like, his job is to write about comics would know things like Jack Kirby being dead.
Yeah.
And number one, it should be never ending, so the movie can't end. I think he's saying that it should... If this is what he's saying, basically he's saying, hey, man, this movie should be about what's next, so it should probably end, like, open-ended so that we can have more sequels. What a fantastic original idea!
Fantastic.
Because no modern blockbuster or superhero movies, for that matter, ever do anything like that. Holy moly.
And also, I will absolutely put $20 on this right now. This movie will have a post-credit scene. Every superhero movie has a post-credit scene now.
I mean, it's weird that like everyone's just like, yeah, remember, because Marvel really made that a thing. Like, I used to say to the end all the time because lots of movies have cool post-credit. Mm-hmm. Ferris Bueller's Day Off has one. Mm-hmm. Spice World has one.
That is the weirdest.
All right.
A lot of the Kevin Smith movies have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dogma ones. Oh, no, Jay and Silent Bob ones.
Pixar
my
movies.
Favorite.
That's the one when
with Lance Morissette,
yeah.
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 Okay, so let's talk about
Jeez
some
God. All right.
How about I do a quick recap called The Stuff Joey Read That Came Out Last Week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I read 4 books that came out last week. I think we mentioned some of these on the show, and I was not awake, so I don't know. First one was The Fuse number 1 by Anthony Johnson and Justin Greenwood from Image Comics. This was the detective sci-fi comic in space.
I talked about it a lot.
You did. It was good. You were right. You said this was the kind of thing I would enjoy, and it is. It is, in fact, the kind of thing that I enjoy.
There you go.
Fatale number 20, Brubaker Phillips. Did we talk about this last week?
I mentioned that I thought it was phenomenal.
It was cool.
As always,
this is my
it's the best.
This next one was my favorite last week.
Manifest Destiny number 4, Chris Dinges, don't laugh. Matthew Roberts, mm-hmm. I love this book. I hope it runs for 1,000 issues. It's so much fun.
Dinges.
It's got monsters.
Isn't it awesome, though? Oh, man, it's such a good
book. And speaking of things that are awesome that Ryan especially would love, The Mercenary C number 1.
I thought about picking it up, and I didn't.
Kel Simons, Matthew Reynolds. This is like 1930s high adventure Indiana Jones style, my friend.
I'm going to buy that, then.
You will like it. It's less swashbuckling. But it's going to be pretty swashbuckling when you get to the last page and it's like, oh man, it's bad guys.
Cool.
It's seriously fun.
If there's one thing I love to buckle, it's swashes.
Yeah.
Hey,
I really dug it.
It's buying fish.
I'm on board, motherfuckers. All right, let's move on to this week.
I dibs next.
Go ahead.
Do it.
I'm going to talk about a book called Ghosted.
I also read it.
Issue 7 from Josh Ed Williamson with David Gianfelice.
Red.
Did you read it?
No.
He just likes to say.
This book just keeps getting cooler and cooler.
Doesn't it?
They're like,
when
now
they get to their new haunted house is like a fucking pyramid.
It's like a Mayan death cult. It's like, this book's just so cool. David Gianfelice is the perfect artist for this book as well.
Oh, he's great.
He's such a great looking
book. And the ghost of Anderson hanging out with our hero is so fucking awesome.
Especially
when she goes all scary monster.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Just that one panel of her after she's transformed back with the blood on her mouth. Oh,
that's such a good book.
It's
I love
a creepy, creepy book. Now, the one thing I really wanted to talk about with this book is in the back. There's like a 2-page letter they got, which is a ghost story.
A ghost story.
And
isn't it cool?
Yeah, it was super neat, except for the fact that I was reading this earlier, like, I don't know, 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, in my home alone. And I, for like an hour after, I was like, what's that noise? What's that noise?
Because it's
basically,
helps,
what's that noise?
If it helps, ghosts aren't real.
I know.
So don't worry about it, bro.
And just as another aside, this
Starlight?
Mark Millar book.
Yeah, it looks pretty fun. It looks like Buck Rogers to me.
Yeah, this is like the worst cover I've ever seen.
Are you
seen.
Crazy? I thought it was great.
I fucking hate it.
I like it a lot.
Like, look at her face.
It's really good, man. It's totally in the style of like old Alex Raymond and Flash Gordon kind of thing. Like, it's going for an older newspaper style. I thought it was great. I might actually pick it up.
I won't.
I might not. But I do like Goran Parlov, and I like... It looks very much to me like a Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon kind of deal.
You know what? I'm sure if I saw the interiors, I'd probably be like, oh, this looks awesome, but I just hate that cover, and I can't explain why. Well, I can, because I think it looks shitty. That's not explaining. That's not explaining
well,
at all.
I can't explain it. Fuck
that
you.
That is the dumbest
like
thing.
Robert Trejo? Danny Trejo?
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I read that book.
I read. Oh, let's
talk about this then. Okay, so we didn't. I don't think we talked about number one when it came out.
We didn't do the podcast.
I read one and two back to back. So this is the new Punisher by Nathan Edmondson and Mitch Gerads.
Better than Black Widow.
It is actually. It is actually quite a bit better than Black Widow.
I like Black Widow,
but I'm admitting to being slightly underwhelmed by it. I haven't read the newest issue yet, and I think it's good, but not as good as I was hoping. My expectations maybe were a bit too high. Punisher, I had no idea what I was going to expect from this book.
Yeah.
You know, the Rucker run was very much like a hard, not even a crime book. It was just like a really hard military science fiction, not even science fiction, just a military comic.
Yeah.
You know, like Commandos and shit. This one is a lighter hearted, almost like, I'm hesitant to call it this, but I'm going to anyway, a Rockford Files kind of Punisher, though not as lighthearted. He's out on the LA, the West Coast now. He's taking on these drug guys, but this is like a slightly kinder, gentler Punisher who befriends a coyote, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Shades of Pizza Dog.
It's funny that when you say a slightly kinder, gentler Punisher, you flip to a page where he's blowing a man's brains.
Oh no, he's still the Punisher. Yeah. That's what I mean. He's not all of a sudden like, well, yeah, I'm a good guy now.
He's not the Huggisher.
He's still like, he's still a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
That's a good pun, Fisher.
But
oh my god, you gotta put that in a game.
But it's been really fun. It's action. I like where it's going, and they found a way to like mingle the style of the Punisher stories with superhero stuff and explain why the Avengers aren't there. In fact, one of the best things about this book is this sequence where his inner monologue is saying something's too dangerous for the cops but not big enough for the superheroes, but a proper fight for me. So he's dealing with the stuff that is a major deal, but the superheroes are too busy fighting with the guys who can fly.
Yeah.
And the cops can't handle these like really evil fucks who are doing all those drugs. And at the end, we discover that, oh man, these bad guys, these drug dealers have a new secret weapon. Or do they? Nope, it's fucking Electro. Which was pretty sweet.
Would I like this book, do you think?
Thank you.
I don't know.
Do you like Black Widow?
It reminds me of like...
I love Black Widow.
This reminds me of like a cross between... a Punisher book, which is...
Because I love Punisher Max.
And like, this is more like... It tonally reminds me of something like Hawaii Five-0 or Miami Vice.
Yeah.
With the Punisher in it. So I don't know how much it will float your boat necessarily. I really like it. I'm happy I picked it up. You can borrow these two.
I'll buy the first two and see what I
think they're good. And
I like Nathan Edmondson a lot. The artwork is perfect for this book.
It's refreshingly different. Like, it's not... Yeah. We've talked about how, like, it's when Marvel finds something that works, they tend to do it
to death
for fucking years.
Yeah.
And they did a pretty good job. Like, they've reinvented this to the point where it's definitely still the Punisher. It's not like the Matt Fraction mark Punisher where it was wild and zany, which I loved as well. 180 against to the Greg Rucka military Punisher, which was super, super grim and like super heavy and brilliant. This is nowhere near as heavy, though still serious, but with some superhero action. And so, yeah, I think that my Miami Vice or Magnum PI, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking with my local comic retailer about this, and we were talking about how it's a great idea to get the Punisher out of New York, just because if the Avengers know this guy is running around killing all these people... bad people, but killing all these people,
it's
they're going to do something
that
at a point.
We've had to try and ignore, which drove me crazy. So it's nice that they have moved him away from the Avengers.
Can't wait for that book.
And it, and,
yeah, me too.
And it's still fairly serious. And really, with The Punisher, you either have to be a serious book or go absolutely nuts, like a Frankencastle kind of deal. Yeah, it has to be an absolutely
and
out of this world
ridiculous.
And this is like
a pretty good balance between the two. Like, it's not ridiculous, but it's definitely...
Yeah.
This is like... okay, so let me put it another way. You have your Garth Ennis and Rucka Punisher, which would be on HBO.
Because that's the Punisher I love. Mm-hmm.
You have that Punisher on HBO. This would be more Punisher on ABC, but it works.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like a darker ABC.
But he's not pulling punches. He's blowing guys' heads off. In the first like three pages, he blows a guy's hand off with a shotgun and then feeds him to alligators.
Yeah.
So,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I think Nathan Edmondson is a really good fit for both of the titles that he's on at Marvel. So both for Black Widow and this.
Well, he's writing Black Widow as well?
Yep.
Yeah. I've only read the first three issues of Black Widow. I think it will pick up, but...
I love that book. I think that book is excellent.
You can definitely tell there's a bit of that that Hawkeye directive.
He's wearing a Hawkeye
shirt, but there's definitely a bit of that Hawkeye directive going on, but it works.
I like that Edmondson's already introduced a new supporting cast for him, too. Like, he has this guy at this diner that he goes to every day and chats with, and this he's kind of befriended this cop, so Punisher kind of has a pet cop now. Yeah. Like,
and then he has his military guy, Tugs.
Yeah, basically, if they could just make... If every comic could be influenced by the Rockford Files in some way, that would be great. So yeah, I'm way all on board with this new Punisher.
Yeah, I love the Punisher. Me too. We'll put it this way. I read Black Widow 1, did not go on my pull list. I read this Punisher number 1, went directly on my pull
list. Widow is still on my pull list. It's still definitely good enough for me to keep picking up for a while and see what happens.
I'm excited for this year, because now I'm working two jobs, saving up some money, child support. I'm going to be buying way more comics. So
not saving money at all.
So not saving money at all, no.
Why would you? Saving money is stupid.
Yeah. But there's two new number ones this week that I kind of want to talk about.
I've read them both. Mm. We can talk about them.
I can talk about one.
I'm very interested in your perspective on one of them.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah.
White Suits.
I want to know what
you guys think. So the White Suits, I wrote...
Before you did.
What? I wrote a review for this on alphacomics.ca that you can read. Give you about 600 words about everything that I thought about this book by Frank J. Barbier and Toby Cypress. So
Toby Cypress worked on that book I loved,
12 Reasons to Die.
No, it was that crime book that I really liked. I can't believe I forgot.
I forget too.
Blue Estate,
yes. And so, and the writer of Five Ghosts. So, like,
I really like
your
that book.
Favorite book. This book is a 4-issue miniseries from Dark Horse Comics. And has outstanding interiors. I think the interiors are very, very, like, interesting and creative and really violent and, like, explosively violent. I enjoyed the art specifically from this book. Story-wise, it's written very well, and it's very familiar to and derivative kind of 100 Bullets.
This is what you told me.
Yeah.
That you thought it's about the 100 books.
I don't want it to seem like it's a fault of the book, but it's just really familiar to me because of I've read 100 Bullets twice.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to come on the record and disagree with you.
Okay.
If you hadn't mentioned the 100 Bullets to me, it never in a million years would have occurred to me.
Really?
I didn't find it even remotely similar to 100 Bullets, other than there are some assassins trying to kill each other.
The Minutemen.
No,
come back, and then one of the sleeper agents basically has amnesia and is slowly picking up his memories
to be activated back as a Minuteman. Derivative of the 100 Bullets. That's just like a spy fiction trope that's been in a million things.
Okay.
So while after you told me about why you thought that, I can see why you thought that, but I totally didn't get that at all in this book. I do think it's pretty good. I think the writing is very good. And weirdly enough, I'm also going to disagree with you a little bit on the art. I think it's really beautiful stuff, but his storytelling is a little weak in that I had to read a couple pages twice to be able to follow what was happening because it's so hyper-stylized. I appreciated the fact that the layouts, while the art is pretty stylized, the layouts themselves, the panels are fairly... Like, they're not super crazy in the way they're laid out because the artwork is so stylistic that it's a little hard to see what's happening and it's kind of distracting. But because the panels are laid out pretty straightforwardly, that made it a lot easier. But I think a lot of large part of it for me is the way he colors certain things. Like, it's so... Sometimes the stylistic stuff, his choices here, I think, are a little distracting. And sometimes they're kind of inconsistent, so I had a hard time telling who was who. Which was the same complaint I had about his artwork in Blue Estate. I think it's beautiful stuff. I'd hang it on my wall, but it's not super easy to follow the storytelling because of it.
Yeah, it's not super easy. You know what I mean? However, it's the kind of panel work that I think that if you just look at each panel for 2 seconds as opposed to like the one that you're used to of just blazing through stuff. Like earlier when I was reading, when I was rereading a lot of the Wonder Woman stuff, Cliff Chang's storytelling is so seamless that you can burn through a page in like half a second. Just like... And going from panel A to panel B is so quick. Where I would say that his art, that Toby Cypress's artwork is muddy. So there's a lot happening, and it is it's kind of like a magic eye where you actually have to really examine what's going on. But I feel his storytelling beats and how he's depicting the action, I feel that tells the story effectively. And I feel that it actually really works.
I found that most of the splashes of color and the way he's doing stuff in there weren't choices made to further the story. They were just made to make the page look cool. And I, while I totally see what you're saying about like the taking an extra 2 seconds on the panel is a good thing, but I think it's only a good thing if you're taking an extra 2 seconds because you want to soak it in and see all the detail, not because if you don't spend 2 seconds, you won't have a clue what you're looking at. It's such like a... It's like Jim Mahfood art, only his stuff I find a little easier to follow. And there's just so much crazy shit happening, and the way it's colored, and all these like splashes of like almost like weird mixed media collage-y kind of stuff that I just have real... I had a really hard time following it.
See, I would say that because what's happening in the book is fairly straightforward. I mean, the action sequences are a gunfight in a bar or whatever. So the storytelling pacing doesn't have to be as fluid because basically character A comes into environment. Characters B and C fire at character A. As all this action is happening, there's these really, really interesting artist renditions of gunfire, of casings falling all over the place, of violence just like exploding into your face. So it's not necessarily storytelling showing you exactly bit by bit how this gunfight is taking place. More so it's just really awesome snapshots of a firefight between mobsters and an agent. So the storytelling is simple enough that I think that it works.
I see where you're coming from. I don't see it. Like, the plot... I think that the beats of the story are so simple that there's no excuse for it being this unclear. Like, it's such a simple thing. Like, gunfight in the bar. And for me to have to spend, like, an extra 30 seconds not looking at the panels, soaking them in, going, wow. Looking at the panels, going, where are all these people? Where are they in relation to each other? What's happening? What the... Like, I can't... I'm just, it's distracting with all the little things he throws in, but it sounds like we just had a very different reading of the same thing, so.
What did you think, Ryan?
Did you read it?
I think, to do with the writing, I feel like I was misled by this, thinking that it would be a Cold War spy story, for the record, so I was a little disappointed off the hop, but Frank Barbary, Rice Five Goes, which is an excellent, excellent, excellent book, read that.
If I had to decide right now, based on the first issue, then yeah, I would say that
yeah.
I like Frank Goes better, but I don't have to make that decision.
This, like I said, I was a little disappointed it wasn't a Cold War spy story, but I thought the story was fine. I thought the story was good.
Yeah, the story's good.
I
like
the story. The artwork, I will say this with the caveat, this is not my thing. This is not the
type of... No, this is very much like... This looks like someone tagged it on the other side of a bridge.
Well, it's...
Like, it's a very, like, sketchy, yeah. LA kind of...
I do agree with you, stuff. Like, looking to see where are these characters in relation to each other, kind of having to figure out what's happening. I had a really big problem with, who the fuck are these people who are talking?
That was the other thing. Like, there was a lot of moments where I was like, yeah. I don't... This gunfight would be more interesting if I knew who cared who anybody was, because I don't have a clue who anybody is.
Yeah.
And the characters, because his art is so stylized, their designs are kind of inconsistent. So there was certain moments where I'm like, oh, this is the same guy as the guy on page 2. Oh, okay. Yeah. But like, there was a lot of moments where I'm like, I don't know who's talking.
Now, in the same vein as you, I do think this looks really good.
Again, like I just said, I would hang it on the fucking wall. I think it's gorgeous.
I think this guy's insanely talented. It is not my thing.
Crazy stuff a little bit to make the story easier to follow.
Yeah,
or at least to make the character. I remember, as much as I loved Blue Estate, I had the same problem with some of the issues of Blue Estate, where I was like, there was a lot of characters in Blue Estate, and you had to keep track of who was what. And the writer did a really good job of making it clear, but there were moments where on one page I'd see two different characters and then realize, never mind, it's the same guy, okay. Yeah. I have to look at what they were wearing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's just...
No, like...
But overall, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting enough story. Like I said, it's not for me, but I do think that a lot of people will like it, like you did.
It doesn't surprise me at all that you went for the shrub. This strikes me as the kind of book that you would totally get the fuck behind.
I mean, geez, my favorite fucking artist is like Mike Allred, so this is about as far from Allred as you can get, right?
Certainly not polished or shiny.
Yeah.
None of those things.
And I do like some stuff that isn't. Five Ghosts, Chris Mooneyham, I believe, does the artwork in that. And it's not polished at all, but it's not quite as frantic as this. Frantic is like the word that comes to mind.
So basically my main complaint was that I had a hard time with the art and the storytelling in that book. Now, compared to our next book, Undertow number 1 from Image Comics, The art and the storytelling in white suits might as well have been by Jack Kirby.
Okay, thank you so much. Undertale
fucking was such a bummer.
I have no idea.
No fucking clue, right?
No idea what was going on.
I hate to be negative, but what a piece of shit.
Okay, I'm really glad that you said that. I'm really glad that you said that.
I'm being dramatic.
Because I was reading it at work.
I read it
during my break, and I read it again.
I still don't know.
I didn't even get... Okay, I read it the first time and went, I must be asleep or something, because I, you know, I read a lot of comics, so I'd like to think that I'm, you know... I'm not completely inept at understanding this kind of storytelling. I got to the end and went, no, I have no idea. I mean, I don't have a clue what just happened. So I reread the first half way and like, you know, even went to the bathroom, like splashed water in my face. Was like, okay, wake up. I want to actually see this and read this and experience it. And then read the first half and went, fuck this. I don't understand what the fuck I'm... I don't know what's happening.
Last night,
this is ridiculous.
I was alone in the house. Nicole and Brody were out and I was like, I can focus. I read half this book and I was like, I must be exhausted because I'm not able to follow this. So I put it down, picked it up again tonight, read it once through, and went, the fuck did I just read? Read it again.
No clue.
Still no clue. You can't tell the characters apart.
No, this I don't know. I wouldn't even
hang this on my fucking wall. It's just so fucking all over the map. There's this whole big fight scene at the beginning where these characters are fighting underwater. I don't know who they're fighting.
What it was.
I don't know who any of them are. I don't know who's killing them or what's killing them. I don't see anything happening. A guy shows up. I thought this guy was against him, but suddenly they're buds. He's going to be reborn. I don't know who they are. Is he the fucking Frankenstein monster? Then there's this scene on the Earth where I guess what are supposed to be primitive humans fight what looks like a fucking goat monster. And, oh my, what the fuck is going on in this book?
I have no idea.
I am so glad I did not pick
this
up.
Yeah, what the fuck was this thing at the end with this girl straddling him?
I don't know.
Who are these characters?
I was kind of laughing.
What the fuck is with the stupid footnotes telling me what shit says?
That was stupid.
Put up a goddamn
really
footnote
dumb.
To tell me what the fuck is happening on the page.
Another thing that really, really, really bothered me about this book is if you are a good, efficient letterer, then you will get through the whole book without noticing the lettering. It'll just be seamless. Immediately, in the first page, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why are you putting white on white, you dumb bastard? I can't read that. So this page, I actually had to lean in really, really close because he's putting white narratives instead of separating it from the page and putting it on a separate level, like a word balloon is fucking supposed to do.
Or you put it in a box, right?
Yeah, he does it like how Fiona does it in Saga, but she does it
well.
She does it well, and she's the one who letters Hazel's inner monologue. Yeah. So she's putting it in a space where it's not interrupting the action, and plus she's using a fucking color that contrasts with the background. Yeah. I needed a magnifying glass to actually see the fucking words. So that was annoying. That was really annoying.
So
immediately, I went back to the beginning and went, who the fuck is this letterer? Thomas Maurer, what are you doing? And then, I mean,
individual panels, I guess they're cool pictures. The guy's a good draftsman, but
I don't know
who these characters are. I don't even care, and I will not buy number two.
I'm definitely not buying number two. This is the first Image book that we've just been like, whoa, this is not good.
Who the fuck
did not like this?
Quality control. Like, who put this out?
I don't know. I think it was about people from Atlantis or something.
I think Atlantis was involved, and I think that the guy who looks like Frankenstein is like a freedom fighter who is fed up with the Atlanteans or something.
So it's not
and
good.
He made a boat that has air on it that you can grow plants on, I guess.
See, every once in a while you guys will read a book that I didn't read, and then you'll talk about it, and I'll be like, I should buy that. Case in point, Manifest Destiny. You told me, hey, it's an excellent book. I think you'd like it. I picked it up. Fucking love that book. This book, I'm not going
to
pick it up.
This
Orlando fellow is not getting my $3.
I never heard of anybody doing this book. They got a pickup just because the cover looked like it had a monster on it, and it was Image. And it was not very good.
That $3 of mine will buy something.
I have one more book, and then so why don't I talk about that and we can play a game?
Oh yeah, we have a game.
So I read number one from Boom Studios.
I wanted to pick this up.
Loki, Ragnarok and Roll by Eric M. Esquivel and Jerry Gaylord, and this book has a really, really good lettering.
Hey!
And I'm not just saying that because we know the guy. Mr. Ryan Ferrier is a very good letterer. He does a really good job.
Very subtle. He's everything that a letterer needs to be. Perfect.
I thought it was great.
He's like children. They should not be seen or heard.
You know how I sometimes complain that that books don't need to be 4 issues long and like they could have told that in 2?
Yeah.
This one, I wish this issue was 2 issues because there's some jumps. Like when the characters get to certain places, the end of this issue comes so quickly that I'm like, I didn't really get a chance to care where we were yet or know enough about or care more because I don't really know where we are, what's happening. And now Thor's back and suffice to say, I'm saying I wish it was longer because I really liked it.
I think the cover is fantastic.
The cover is fantastic.
I wanted to pick this up.
You'll probably appreciate this. I thought it was funny. On the inside front cover, they have a quote from Abraham Maslow and also 4 recommended listening songs. Listening to this cover.
I hope one's Slipknot.
Killing the Dragon by Dio. The Fight Song, Marilyn Manson. Blood and Thunder by Mastodon. And Paint It Black by The Stones.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's like Loki Loki and Thor end up going to deal with the Frost Giants or on a diplomatic mission. Thor just fucking kills everybody. Then they go back to Asgard to talk to Odin. And there's this awesome splash page of all the other gods who come to the Great Hall in Asgard to hang out. So we get this gods like Cthulhu and the Flying Spaghetti Monster and St. George and stuff. Baron Samedi is in here. Anansi.
I love that the Flying Spaghetti Monster is there.
The Chinese god of male-on-male love, Tu'er Shen, who is basically Usagi Yojimbo. But it was funny. And Loki ends up getting banished to Earth. And I think he joins a band on Earth. But because of the kind of the speed that we plow through it, I was enjoying myself so much that when we got to the end, I was like, oh, I was hoping we'd have at least another issue of him hanging out on Earth before shit went down. But it's pretty fun. And the next issue is great. Next issue, The Rise of Loki and the Tricksters, The Fall of the House of Odin, Deicide in Drop D. Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's a pretty fun little book.
As a weird out of nowhere, have you guys seen the Meshuggah Wolf on Wall Street thing?
No.
Oh my god, we should watch it after because it'll waste time.
Okay.
And because it doesn't sound good because it's Meshuggah, but we should watch it after. I've watched it so many. It's like a 15-second thing and it's stupid and amazing. Go on.
Are you ready?
Yes.
It's time to play the comics quiz. Do you know what these answers is? Can you bask in the glory and the fame of being our own comics roundup king? Who's Balloon Edition?
Are we doing?
Who's Balloon? Who's Balloon? It's time for a rousing game.
If it's a balloon for winning, it's probably not
Who's
mine.
Who's Balloon?
Who's Balloon?
All right, so on this edition of Who's Balloon? Did I bring the wrong one?
Did you? Because I have a backup if we have a problem.
Hold the...
If you forgot, you just announced Who's Balloon. Did you not bring Who's Balloon? You didn't bring Who's Balloon, did you?
I brought the wrong one, but... I think I remember all the bits.
You can save it, because we can save it for next week, because we can play my game if you want.
Oh, I'm so sad. I worked so hard on this one.
Play my game, play my game.
Next time.
When Rob forgets his
notes. If you
work
hard on it, don't waste it by trying to remember it. Save it for the next week.
Okay.
We'll play it next week.
This is a game that I created for the Bride of the Creature podcast.
We'll play his other game.
A game that I created for Bride of the Creature podcast. It didn't work very well on that show. We had a very distracting baby. It was our worst episode ever. It was really short. It didn't really work, and Nicole did not quite get it.
Is this game called Who's Balloon?
Spooky
Edition.
This game is called Silent But Deadly.
Oh, do we fart?
Basically, I'm going to tell you guys an item, and you're going to tell me if it's silent, deadly, or silent but deadly.
Oh, wait! I brought the right one!
Okay, well, good. Well, we'll play both then.
We'll play both. That's sweet.
I just explained the rules of mine, so let's do mine first.
Okay.
So, you guys understand the rules of Silent But Deadly?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, so we'll start with Ryan, and I'm going to play the item. You tell me silent, deadly, or silent but deadly. Okay. Snow falling.
Silent.
Correct. Rob. Clouds.
Silent.
Very good. Ryan. A king cobra.
Deadly.
Very good. Very good indeed. Robbie G.
Hello.
Fire.
Deadly.
Very good. Ryan, reading.
Silent but deadly.
It's just silent. How is it deadly?
What if you read out loud?
Yeah.
What if you're reading a story to someone?
Then it's neither silent nor deadly.
Also, what if it's the book version of the video from the Ring, I think? Is that the one?
Yeah. Okay. Or what if you're reading... All right.
I won't
reading
get a point.
Reading to yourself.
Okay.
Smart guys.
Silent.
Silent.
Right. Okay, Rob. Carbon monoxide.
Oh, deadly. Silent. Silent but deadly. Oh, my God. It's both of the things.
It is. It is silent but deadly.
Oh, my God. Silent but deadly.
It actually killed Weird Al's parents. Sort of brings down. But,
Jesus.
Okay, Ryan.
He was sad, Al, that
Ryan,
day.
Ryan, the Beatles from Liverpool.
Silent but deadly?
The Beatles from Liverpool are silent? They're a fucking band.
Deadly?
Yes, Ringo once killed the Drifter. Rob.
Oh.
Rob.
Hello.
The Beatles from Liverpool.
Well, they're silent because they're little beetles.
Exactly, they're little beetles.
Ah,
oh, see, thinking outside the box.
There you
well
go,
done.
There
okay,
you go.
Ryan. The sound of one hand clapping.
Silent.
Correct. Rob, the sound of one hand slapping. That's not clapping. They all said the same thing. It's not fucking clapping.
Sound of one hand slapping. That's deadly.
Absolutely. And Ryan, the sound of one man crapping.
Silent but deadly.
Exactly, and you want to know why? Because he's an anal sex enthusiast.
Slides right out of there.
All right,
you
Rob.
Got so like into looking at me. All
right, Rob.
I'm rethinking my choice now.
Your life choices?
Yeah, my choice from earlier in the episode. Yeah.
Rob, a plane crash.
Oh, deadly.
Absolutely. Ryan, sharks.
Deadly. But silent.
Silent but silent but deadly.
Well, I wanted to... I'm a boomerang, no. Just backwards.
Wait, that's not how a boomerang works. It doesn't work backwards.
I'm a slinky that goes upstairs.
Excuse me, sir, how does this boomerang work backwards? What?
Rob.
Hello.
True love.
Oh, deadly. Silent but deadly?
I'm looking for silent, but depending on the relationship, I would have also accepted deadly.
All right.
But never silent but deadly.
Okay.
Because
never.
Typically, if true love would kill you, it'd be like some crazy screaming going on, right?
Yeah.
Like, you fucked my sister!
That's not true love at all. Well, I guess maybe on one end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's
the tip of your dick.
Your sister. Yeah. The tip of your dick.
Deadly.
Silent deadly. Okay, Ryan. Mimes.
Silent.
Rob. Violent crime.
Deadly.
Ryan. Violent mime.
Silent but deadly.
Rob. Helen Keller.
Silent.
Ryan. Helen Killer.
Deadly? Well, I don't know if Helen Killer is deaf, dumb, and
she's just Helen
blind.
Keller, but she kills people.
Silent but deadly, then.
You can ask questions.
Okay. Silent but deadly.
All right, and last one. I'll throw this out to anybody. Farts.
Silent but deadly.
Or correct? Silent.
Correct. I would have also accepted
or deadly.
Silent, deadly, silent but deadly. Any of the above, basically. And that, my friends, is how you play
silent
but deadly.
But deadly. Yay!
I will hopefully bring that game back someday.
I love it.
Okay, now let's play
fantastic.
The real game. Round
okay,
game.
Okay, okay. Here we go. I found my list. All right. So this is Who's Balloon?
Who's Balloon?
Are you guys excited for Who's Balloon?
Yes.
All right, this is the film edition of Who's Balloon? I figured it would be appropriate because
considering it's the comic roundup and our last game had nothing to do with the comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I don't even know when we started recording, but did Guardians of the Galaxy is a film with a trailer that came out and it looked cool.
We also spent like half an hour on the Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of comics
Good
news,
talk, whatever.
Movie-wise.
I'm
so,
way more excited for
here,
Guardians.
I'm going to tell you a balloon! From a popular...
I'm going to tell you a balloon.
Yeah. And you're going to tell me what character is responsible for that balloon.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't you blow me a balloon? Because it sounded mean, and then it wasn't. I just asked a favor.
Carry
oh, boy.
Okay. I lost already.
All right, so we're going to start with Joey here.
Okay.
I'll even do the character voice. Too much iron in your blood.
Oh, that was Magneto's balloon.
Magneto, that take one balloon point.
Okay.
Ryan.
Where is he?
Batman.
That's Batman. Take one balloon point. Very good. Point. Very good.
Why am I miming? It's an audio.
Joey.
Yes, sir.
I'm Gotham Batman.
Was that Tom Hardy and Lawless? Or are you saying
oh, my God,
or
right?
Is that Bane with like marbles in his mouth?
That's Bane.
Was
that
just Bane?
That was Tom
this
Hardy's
Bane.
Character
Bane.
From Lawless
I'm
becoming Bane.
I'm Gotham's record.
As Bane, so you can take
what
a
lovely thing.
I should get an extra point because I identified the actor and another film he was in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you get one point for
okay,
for
I'll
Bane.
Take it.
All right, Ryan. Feel like I'm gonna break this damn thing.
If you don't know this, I'm gonna kick you in the testicles. Do I get a steal? Because he's stupid.
No, you can't. You can't steal.
Is it from the movie Steel?
Yeah, are you serious? It's like the best line. Okay, can I give him more of the line?
It's the noisy cricket.
Noisy cricket.
Noisy cricket.
I feel like I'm gonna break this damn thing.
Are you just blanking on his
name? No, I honestly have no idea.
I get a little cricket midget. It's Agent J from Men in Black.
No. It's not. It's from Hancock. It's Hancock.
He's talking about his cock.
Yeah.
Which is in his hand.
It's Hancock.
It's Hancock.
I haven't seen either.
I feel like I'm gonna break this damn thing.
Yeah, I saw Men in Black when it came out, and yeah, I've never watched.
It wasn't Men in Black. It was Hancock.
Oh, well, I've never seen Hancock.
No, it was Men in Black.
It was Hancock.
I did the rest of the scene.
I've seen my hand in a cock.
Well, you know, you can argue with the guy who made the game.
I can.
You can, but you'll just waste.
It's like Munchkin.
Your time, because I'm right. Joey.
Yes, sir.
The S stands for hope.
Is it Suddenly Susan?
Yep.
It's Man of Steel.
It's Man of Steel.
Oh, Superman. The question is, whose balloon is it?
Yeah. Whose balloon?
It's Superman.
Superman.
I wish it was like
balloon point.
How sweet would the line be if the S stands for Shope?
For what?
Shope.
Shope.
I just think that'd be really funny.
The S stands for
Salamander.
Or if it was just like an advertisement, it stands for scope. Nice. Why did you think the my S, teeth are so?
It's I got to deal with
in the room. In the South. The S stands for skull. Like chewing tobacco.
Yeah, thanks. All right, Ryan.
Do it,
Ryan. What happens when a toad is struck by lightning?
Same thing that happens to anything else. That is X-Men Storm.
There you go. There's a bunch of clues that are that I've used before. Whatever. He got it anyway. He gets a balloon point.
But she says, "Do you know what happens to a toad?"
Not quite the line.
It's fine.
Still just as bad.
Yeah. Still just as stupid. But you can
take
a balloon point.
Like, that's not the only Joss Whedon lines left in that movie.
Joss Whedon?
Yeah. He wrote a script of X-Men 1, and very little of it remained. But I think that "You're a dick" and that I think were two of his lines that left ended up in the movie.
I see. Okay. So that's one balloon point to Ryan. Joey,
mm-hmm.
You're home. Smell you later.
He looked at his kingdom. He was finally there to sit on his throne. He's the Prince of Bel Air. It's the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
No, sorry, it's Hancock.
Oh, again, I didn't see it. That's the problem.
Yeah,
I didn't see Hancock.
You guys should have watched Hancock. Hancock was a spectacular film.
I didn't. I never got around to it.
It was very good. Ryan, flame on.
The Human Torch.
It is. Good job. You can take a balloon point. Johnny Storm, the Human Torch.
Out of curiosity, would it have counted if I said Captain America?
No, that would have been dumb.
Same actor.
Well, they're not the same character.
I was just wondering. I didn't answer that, though.
Okay.
That's 6 degrees of Ryan's fucked up brain.
All right.
That's not a far connection.
Yes, sir.
We have a Hulk.
Oh, yeah, that's in that Avengers movie. It's probably in a Santa with Muscles or... Or Mr. Nanny, one of the Hulk Hogan movies. He was also in Three Ninjas Hiding at Mega Mountain.
He was in all those movies.
He was. Is that who we're talking about?
No. Iron Man says it in the Avengers movie. Remember that scene?
Oh.
That's a good movie.
I have an army.
Honestly,
we have a Hulk.
You know what? Like,
yeah.
It's in my queue right behind Hancock.
Oh. Okay. It's a good flick.
I've seen it, but only on mute.
Oh. Well...
You're only getting
50% of the movie experience.
I asked them to unmute it, but they called me a faggot and they told me to go back to my seat.
Jesus. You know? All right. What movie theater are you going to?
Well, it turned out I was actually in the home of a Southern gentleman.
Oh, so what? Okay. Was it a Southern gentleman who had just kind of... He was just in his house. Like, is it based on geography? Like, is he the south side of Calgary?
He moved here, but I was in his home.
For the record, I just heard your dog.
What made him a southern? What made him a southern gentleman?
Well, he was from Georgia.
Oh, okay. I thought you just meant that.
Was it the devil? He went down to Georgia.
But he came from Georgia, and I thought he was a movie theater. And he had it on me.
He came from Georgia, and I thought he was a movie theater. Is the best Charlie Daniels song I have ever heard.
Georgia, and I thought he was a movie theater.
Absolutely amazing. Okay.
Adventures on mute.
Ryan.
Yeah.
I am legend.
I know this one. It was in Hancock. Right? I heard that's like the famous line from Hancock. See, the weird thing is I've only heard Hancock. I've never seen it, but I've heard all the dialogue.
Yeah? Oh.
Is it?
Well, it's way better here.
Is it, this was at somebody else's house.
Is it Muhammad Ali?
I'm sorry, you lose a balloon point. It was Hancock.
Oh, see, I thought you were gonna throw the curveball and go with another.
I remember hearing all the dialogue from Hancock. Yeah. They made us listen.
Well,
to
I ordered you. Studies. I got you the script off Amazon for Christmas.
Yeah, and I got a blind man to read it to me. Well, it was okay. This got like so elaborate because I realized the strangers would be doing that. So I had to hire a southern gentleman to read it to the blind man first.
Was
so
it
he
because
could then read it to me?
It was the because I got you the Braille edition, wasn't it?
No. I had to hire someone to convert it into Braille so that the southern gentleman could read it to the blind man because he didn't know Braille.
You spent all that money on Braille conversion?
Not all of it.
I could have just bought.
I also gave $15.75 to the southern gentleman whose house I thought was a movie theater.
Oh well, that's fair. I should have just bought you the special edition, which comes in Braille, too.
You could have also just bought me the DVD
of a movie. Why would I do that when a perfectly good script is on Amazon?
Well, because I feel guilty every time I go to this guy's house. I don't have anything to bring that we can watch.
That's fair. Well, he's blind anyway.
No, the southern gentleman's not blind.
Who's blind?
The blind guy.
Who's blind?
The blind guy who read me the script to Hancock.
Right. The Braille. Okay. Right. And you got the Braille version. You got someone to convert
the Braille.
Which
the southern gentleman had to read the Braille version to the blind man so that he could read it to me, because the blind man can't speak Braille.
I'm just so lost right now.
Yeah, you know.
Did you say the blind man can't speak Braille?
He can't. The weird thing about this blind guy is he has. He only has 3/4 of a tongue, and I don't know if you know this, but when you speak Braille, there's all clicks and pops and whistles that you have to do, and he couldn't do it, and I had run out of cash at this point, so I couldn't hire like a bushman to come in and help to translate the Braille for the blind man. So basically what I did was I found a southern gentleman who had hunted the bushman, so he knew part of the click and pop language. He read the Braille, he read it to the blind man, who then read it to me, and that's why I know all the dialogue from Hancock without having seen it. Not to be confused with the time that I saw the Avengers without the sound in the home of a southern gentleman. Interestingly enough, not the same southern gentleman whom I hired to read the Braille to the blind. Is there more?
Yeah, there's some more.
Okay.
I'm just tweeting that.
I don't know why that's funny.
I am so...
To laugh at a man.
Okay, okay.
The shitty all thing right. is I zoned out for about 4 seconds and just lost it all. I had no idea where we
okay.
were.
Okay. So, we're on Joe here.
Okay.
Fucking Jesus Christ.
I'm ready.
Okay, Joey.
Yep.
There's a hero in all of us.
Is that Aunt May from Spider-Man 2?
That is Aunt May from Spider-Man 2. You can take a balloon point.
Thank you.
Ryan. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Muhammad Ali.
No, well, it's Hancock.
It's Hancock.
Hancock is actually the original.
Yeah.
It was a Norwegian film that was then remade. It was a German film, excuse me. It was remade in America by Will Smith as Hancock. It was Hancock. It was very popular where I come from.
It was very big. It was a very big
This
movie.
Is called the
But
Comeback.
Not very popular back in Mother Russia.
Who's that guy?
Who just came
God,
in?
Vladimir Putin has arrived in the studio.
What do you think of homosexuals?
They disappoint me.
Oh my goodness.
Just like my hockey team.
What about the hockey. Pussy Riots? Do you like them?
They disappoint me.
Okay,
I've been crazy
got
either.
More disappointing, Pussy Riots or the hockey team?
The Pussy Riot.
Alright, can I offer you some crackers?
I am good on the cracker.
Are you sure? Because I've heard that you can be pretty fun when you're putting on the Ritz there.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Prime Minister Putin has left.
See ya.
I'll be Buck.
Why? What happened to your...
Buck.
No, he's playing Buck Rogers. In
right,
the
I'll be Buck.
I'll be Buck.
Okay, that's good. That's
Rogers.
Good.
You're really good at this.
Okay,
one
guys.
Time I win to Canada, I play roll up rim.
That's great.
I did not win.
Was it disappointing for you? How did you feel about it?
I was disappointed.
Wow, we've had a lot of fun guests.
See you later, today. Vlad.
Goodbye.
Vlad to meet you. All right.
Are we still playing
that was a disappointing
joke. One more question for either of you.
Right,
okay, this will
go.
Be the deciding factor. Joey.
All right.
At least my nose isn't gushing blood.
Well, that was Danny DeVito as the Penguin in Batman Returns.
Very, very well done. Take a balloon point. Ryan, the last question you get. No, my son, Jaden Smith. This isn't Earth. This is after Earth.
Handcuff.
Oh, you win! You won the game! Good job. Oh my god, it was Handcuff.
I won the game?
Yes, you won the game.
You tied the game.
You tied the game! All right.
It was our balloon.
Your balloon.
I got half a victory like 17.
Good job. And I was surprised you got that last Handcuff.
I've had a lot of things go wrong for me lately.
That was actually my favorite line.
I lost a foot.
It was the quote from Handcuff that sparked the M. Night Shyamalan After Earth.
It was really confusing, though, because I had to explain to the blind man who Jaden Smith was, because he hadn't seen The Karate Kid.
Oh, that's such a shame.
He actually hasn't seen a lot of movies, to be perfectly honest.
What has he seen?
From what I understand, it's just like nothing. They don't even see black. They just see nothing.
They don't see black, they just see nothing.
It's such a hard concept to wrap your head around.
Mr. Poutine, how did you feel about After Earth?
Wait,
I found it very disappointing. Poutine?
No, Mr. Poutine. Hello, boys. I'm Mr. Poutine. I'm John Poutine. I'm just very happy to be invited here to your program.
Oh, Mr. Poutine, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me on the program. I understand you're playing Who's Balin here. I thought I'd come by and just see how
we're doing. I'm just taking it.
I know we have jokes for jokes here, and I was listening to the program, and I come from South Kitsilano.
Yeah, so I've
come down to the studio here. I heard that the president of Russia was here, Prime Minister Putin.
He was. He just took off. Or is he back again?
The interesting thing about him, though, boys, is that we get each other's mail quite often.
Duh.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
You should tell us more interesting things.
Duh.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
How many more interesting things have you ever experienced in your entire life?
Four
experiences? Then you've already shared one. So exclusive on the
I hope experience was not of homosexual persuasion.
Okay, so I guess I only have two then.
Okay,
we're fine with that kind of thing, eh? We're totally okay with all kinds of homosexual persuasions. If you see a homosexual, you can persuade him to do pretty much whatever you want.
Yep.
Do you want to know how I feel about that?
To do anything.
I would like to hear very much.
Disappointed.
Oh, well, gosh, I'm awful sorry to hear about that. You should come by the house there. We're going to have a Barbie. We're gonna have some good old Alberta beef.
Going to have some Barbies.
We're going to have some cod. We're going to have some cod fresh out of Newfoundland there, which is tough to get in South Kitsilano. Fresh from Newfoundland. So my other two experiences...
I see a wonderful friendship sparking between Russia and Canada.
My other two experiences, I once got to see the Blue Nose, the famous Canadian sailboat on our dime, the 10-cent coin, or the nickel, as it's known in the States. A little Canadian humor there for you.
That's really good. That's great. I like that because of conversion
rates.
Thank you. Conversion rates.
And my last experience is I once strangled a drifter.
Good.
Yeah.
Russian ruble worth 10,000 drifters.
Are you having a conversation right now? Or are you just saying... I feel like he was trying to tell you a story and that you're not necessarily...
Hey, but it's okay. We should be more accepting because
we're...
Well,
absolutely. We're harvesting
a partnership.
We're a
multicultural country after all.
I don't get this forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Well, we'll be happy to explain it to you. And when you come by the house there, we'll introduce you to Margie. I'll say Margie. This year is Mr. Vladimir.
What do you say?
I'll say Margie. Margie.
Who's he talking to?
Margie is my wife.
So he's talking to Margie?
My lovely wife.
Who's Margie?
Margie? Oh, I just told you. She's my lovely wife, Margie.
Oh, your lovely wife, Margie.
My lovely
wife,
Margie.
Oh, I thought
you
were talking about another Margie for some reason.
I was talking about my dog, my Cocker Spaniel, whose name is also Margie.
Right.
Spaniel,
it's a
gay dog.
What household you've got?
They're named after my wife's dogs.
Oh.
Wait. Holy fuck, can we end this?
Your wife is named after her dogs,
yes.
Who are Margie, who is also named after... So there, how many dogs do you have?
Oh, I have the two plus the wife. Little Canadian humor there for you. Yeah, basically we got the dogs, and Margie liked the dogs so much that she thought, hey, I thought we just decided that we would call her Margie too.
What's her name before she was named after the dogs?
You know, to be perfectly honest, we liked the name Margie so much, I don't even really remember. I think it might have been Catherine, but I could be wrong.
I love the idea of you liking something so much that you forget everything else that ever existed.
I gotta tell you though, it's a big process to get the names changed up here in Canada. You have
It's $120.
It's $120 Canadian dollars, and you have to get permission. And it has to be signed off on with a seal of approval from Walter Gretzky, Canada's dad. So
I have
to fly out to Brampton.
I have fun fact on dog. In Russia, we have none.
You know how many dogs
none
in Russia?
Dog.
Oh boy, well Margie is in
heat. No stray dog. No.
I'd be happy to help you out with some kind of a repopulation project there. And
No, thank you. No, you see stray dog? No, you see no.
Do you?
Yet.
Do you?
I'm sorry.
Do you only have one fun fact on dog? What other fun facts?
I have lots of crazy fun fact. I'm crazy fun Vlad.
I'll tell you one thing about the dogs here up in Canada, eh, is that we do a real good job getting them to go on the paper. I wish I could say the same for Margie. My wife, Margie.
That's some good Canadian humor right there. I like that.
When I go to party, they do not call me Vlad the Impaler.
Are you listening to what you are saying?
They call me Vlad the Inhaler because I inhale the fun.
I think
weed.
You suck the fun out of a room? And
I suck nothing!
Can I ask you a question there, Mr. Putin?
Da.
In Canada, we have a thing called improv. I'm just wondering if you guys have something similar.
Da.
And you build on top of other things people have said. I'm just curious, because it doesn't seem like you were familiar.
Da. And...
Well, there's no need to be rude.
The dog problem is no problem. It made up.
The interesting thing here is that I'm explaining this to you, and you're still actually not listening to what I'm saying.
Duh. And
hey, did you guys know that there used to be a podcast that talked about comic books here in Canada?
Yeah, one time.
Yet.
A long time ago.
Did we finish playing those? I don't even remember how.
You guys tied.
Look, anyway, I gotta go home.
Well, Joey tied.
I gotta go home and let Margie out, because she gets pretty cross.
Oh, see you, John Putin. Yes.
It was nice to meet you,
and
boys.
Vladimir
Goodbye.
Putin.
I have to go.
Sometime.
Grandma Putin is making some borscht.
Grandma Poutine? Your grandmother's name is
we
Poutine.
We actually have the same grandmother.
That's, well, it's your brothers? Your
third
cousins.
Third cousin twice removed.
Your third cousins, which means you have the same grandmother?
Basically, yes. I was removed three times from Russia there.
Da.
Oh, you were kicked out of Russia three times.
No, I was removed.
Oh, you're removed, okay.
Yeah.
For being too fun.
I am the life of the party. I'll tell you that right now.
All right.
We have law against fun.
Come back and see you sometime.
It was wonderful.
Goodbye.
Good Vladimir, boy. You have to fuck off. You have to fuck off, Vladimir.
I think
God.
I think this beat die. Ice to meet you.
What is he doing here? Yeah, I thought I was doing all the German-Austrian voices on this. Boy, those guys were fun, huh, Rob?
They were great. I really enjoyed them. I enjoyed moderating.
I didn't even want to speak up because I was enjoying so much everything.
Oh my God, fuck those guys. They're such assholes.
The guy who told the story and then the guy who just said random things.
There was one
strange
guy who I thought was really adding to the show. This other guy, though, that Prime Minister of Russia, he just kept like...
There was one guy who was really good at improv, though, because he was always saying yes and.
Yeah, but then he would say, yes and, here's the thing about dogs.
Give him a break. He hasn't been in drama class for 7 years.
He said something that I loved that I think I'm going to take home with me. That I'm actually going to hold dear for... Yeah, something that I honestly think I'm going to remember for the rest of my life was... I think you just said it was... I have fun fact on dog, I think, is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It really struck a chord with me because I once had fun fact on dog, and I haven't for years, so it's
you
wonderful.
You had fun fact on dog? Is that like a Chinese dish?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's actually fun fact on dong.
Tell you what, boys, can we just finish this show?
Yes.
Please. Before anybody else wanders into the studio, and we have to do some more shtickla.
All right. Hey, my favorite.
Hello, I'm from Sweden.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I am back. 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 I am back.
You're not allowed to be back. Shut up.
Ryan is no back. I am Vlad. These are my comic book favorites. I think that you guys have cool bits. This is my comic book favorites.
A worst favorite theme. There you go.
I read Comrade Book.
Okay. I am officially banning fucking Putin from our podcast.
We are the US and Putin is Cuba.
Why can't Putin just be Putin? It's not.
Alright,
he's been big. America.
I'm going to start. I'm starting.
But Comrade Book.
Hey guys.
Alright, what was your favorite?
My favorite this week was by Mike Carey and Peter Gross, number 2 of The Unwritten Apocalypse, with an absolutely gorgeous cover by Yuko. I'm just going to make sure I'm saying his last name. Shimizu. Yuko Shimizu. Oh, he wins awards for doing that shit. Spectacular comic book. amazing series. I love this series. I really hope that everyone picks up the trades. You can get the trades are relatively cheap from Vertigo, and then this is going to be the last arc. It'll be done by February of next year. There's only 12 in Apocalypse, and then that's going to be the end of the Tom Taylor saga. So this has been one of my favorite comic books. This has been one of the comic books that is one of those classic Vertigo books that will be a constant recommendation to people, like Why the Last Man, 100 Bullets, Shade the Changing Man, Hellblazer, one of the perfect examples of why I love Vertigo as a publisher. Unwritten Apocalypse, Peter Gross.
Mike Terry, Yuko Shimizu. Hello.
It's Announcer Man.
Hello, I'm Announcer Man.
Oh my goodness, we've had so many fun people dropping by the studio.
I know, I was admiring it from outside.
I think this podcast has two distinct eras. There's like back when we listened to comic podcasts a lot and tried to talk about comics, and then Rob and I got into Comedy Bang Bang, and now it's just like, we can be funny like Scott Aukerman and his friends.
Except we're not. Except
I mean, in
not.
Fairness, I've always just been... Ryan. Present? Vaguely?
President? You've always been President Vladimir Putin?
President?
Anyway, I'm done my favorite. Move the fuck on.
Ryan, what's your favorite?
My favorite is Daredevil, issue 36. The final issue of volume 3, as it says right there. 2011 to 2013, which is wrong. This is 2014, guys.
Lucky okay,
if my math
he definitely
right.
drew the cover in 2013.
Yeah. Anyways, Daredevil issue 36. So it's the last issue
I'm like
of
three
this
issues behind,
volume.
So try not to spoil too much.
I will not say too much. Mark Waid and Chris Samnee are the storytellers. Chris Samnee, of course, on the art. Another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful book. This book has never suffered in quality. It's so awesome. There's this really, really cool page where Matt Murdock makes somewhat of an announcement, and they show all these people reacting to it. But the panels are in big block letters. About what the announcement is.
Hey!
And it's just such a cool... That's neat. A cool page. Anyways, Chris Samnee's the man. A really cool finish to this part of the Matt Murdock story. And all it took was one... Or two pages, I should say, showing a really cool introduction to what is to come. Including a last panel that was I thought was really sweet.
I hope the Samnee Wade run... in this new volume goes for many, many, many more years.
This volume got 36 issues. I hope the next one gets 366 million.
All right.
I will never have a want to do anything else. Maybe learn how to speak English.
That's really got away from
do you have fun fact about dog? Fun fact on dog?
No.
Did you know that there is no stray dogs in Russia? Vlad told me. I like how he pointed.
Fun guy.
To where Vlad, I'm Vlad, you told me. Hey! All right.
So my favorite this week was Red Sonja number 7 by Gil Simone and Walter Giovanni. This was my favorite comic by far of the week. This was my favorite Red Sonja comic maybe ever. This was everything I love about Red Sonja. Her just being a kick-ass, badass she-devil, hanging out in like these swamps looking for... This king or whatever sent her on a mission to get this awesome chef out of the jungle, out of the swamps. So she finds these cannibal tribe people in the swamp and attempts to swamp it up and rescue the fucking the chef. And just when I was like, this comic is fun and funny and cool and badass and the art's really good. And then at the very end, you know what happens? Fucking swamp monsters attack and they're awesome lizard people.
Perfect.
And they fight and they kill all the swamp people. And there's just not the swamp people like Troy Landry of the television program Swamp People. But seriously, such a fun issue. I love Gil Simone's Red Sonja. It's probably my favorite Gil Simone book in ages. But I just fucking love it so much. It's such a fun book. And that issue in particular, I would say you can jump on without having read any Red Sonja ever. It totally stands on its own and would also lead into the next issue nicely. So Red Sonja, whoop-de-doo. And on that note, we've come to the end of yet another episode.
Finally.
No, we did good today.
I think we
successfully bounced back after last week, boys.
I agree.
Or maybe we just annoyed people so much.
I came
so
back
much.
Down to Earth this week.
That Chris Rock movie?
Which is a remake.
Of After Earth.
Yeah.
Hancock?
Yeah. I'll see you thinking of Hancock.
Duh.
Oh.
Right. Well, until next week, I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Hancock.
And I am Vlad.
You know what? No, he's John's already gone. I can't even. I can see if he's. But John! John Putin!
John!
Come back, cousin!
I can say goodbye to the people. Oh, hello there? Did you guys call me? Nope. Yes, we did. Yep. We're just closing up the show. You want to say goodbye? Oh, well, boy, I sure would be happy to do that.
Comrade thanks. John kind of sounds like Kermit.
Vlad, what the fuck? How did you get back in this fucking
house? I actually do an impression of Kermit if you'd like to hear it.
Nope. I would love to.
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here for Sesame Street News.
That is good.
I do it for my kid and for Margie, my daughter Margie.
You want to hear my impression?
Sure.
Is Margie named after your wife or your
waka,
dog?
Waka.
Margie is actually named waka. After my wife's mother's dog.
Waka.
Okay.
Waka.
So Margie is a family dog, is a dog family name.
It's a family dog name family that dog we have also name. Applied waka. To our... My middle name is also Margie.
Well, that's good.
Waka. Yeah,
that's good. That's
it
good.
Used to be Cheesy Pants.
I love the piggy miss.
I do love it.
Kermit.
You know, one of us is trying so hard to do a character, and the other one just keeps blowing him out of the water with, like, some next-level comedy bullshit.
Kermit.
I love the piggy miss.
Kermit.
All right, until next week, I too love the piggy miss. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a week.
Borscht.